So let's pray. What a privilege to come to you and just, Lord, have access to your throne. We have that as individuals through Christ, your Spirit, and we have that uniquely as a group. And so just the all of us getting together and having our hearts and minds set together on you, Lord, is a privilege for us, and we pray that it would be enjoyed by you as well, that you enjoy the fellowship that we have with each other and that we have with you. And that's what this is about, Father, just our time together focused on a Sunday morning. During the week, we thank you for how you help us serve your church, serve each other. We saw it again a bunch this week. Thank you for that, Lord. And so we thank you for just the way, this is just a holistic way, Lord, that you've enabled us to be together and to serve and to enjoy fellowship in the kingdom. And then on these Sunday mornings, we can pray together. We can worship as we hear song, and Lord, we can hear your word. We thank you for that so much, that we aren't here speculating, Lord, but we have truth, and we thank you that you've gifted people to bring us the truth, that you brought the word of God, and for just the way when it's taught, our hearts burn. We do get it, Lord. We understand it's your wisdom, Lord. It's not the wisdom of man, and we thank you for that, and the way our church and the way your church focuses on that, Lord, and the way you've gifted people like Benny to spend time, use his gift to communicate to us. So we pray that that would occur this morning. Bring us before your word with open hearts and minds, and teach us through Benny. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning again for those that have come on since I said good morning. It's just such a delight to be with you again today as we study through Designed by God. And we're in our fourth study today. And we know that from our last 3 weeks that, praise the Lord, he is the creator God, the sovereign Lord God over all things for all eternity. And that he created us and he designed us from before. We read and studied through that passage in Psalm 139, and we'll pick it back up a little later on and look at it again. But thank the Lord that in that great design, that in his plan for you and me, for the believers, we came to know him by his grace. And when we did, he gave us his Holy Spirit. And he gave us a spiritual gift, at least one. Some have more, and many have secondary or even a third gift. But praise the Lord, he gave everybody at least one spiritual gift at salvation. And so we spent 3 weeks in just studying through the spiritual gifts. And that's important for us to really understand our spiritual gifts. So we talked through that. And then how to discover your spiritual gift last week. And this week, we're going to talk through developing your spiritual gift and deploying your spiritual gift. And as we go into that, I'm going to go ahead and get us into our outline for today so that we can follow that along. And so, again, developing and deploying our spiritual gift as... So often as we don't need to wait to totally understand all about our spiritual gift before we would start serving the Lord by any means. And you'll hear me say that a few different ways today. But as we discover our spiritual gift, we need to develop it and deploy it and grow in Christ. The first thing we want to do today is to go to the scripture. And as Peggy had said earlier this morning, Pastor Reeder's preaching on the same passage that I'm teaching on this morning. And that was not planned. I didn't know that. In fact, I started this last quarter kind of laying this all out, and God in his good providence has us hearing that. I did not listen to his sermon earlier this morning. And so I will, hopefully and prayerfully get to hear that at 11 o'clock after this. That's my plan. I'll be serving, helping in that service anyway behind the scenes. But let's dive into our Ephesians 4 passage. And really the key passage we're going to hone in on begins with verse 11 through 16 for our purposes of really thinking through the spiritual gifts and developing and using or deploying our spiritual gifts. But it's real hard to go into verse 11 and through 16 without first getting our context in verses 1 through 7. So let's look at this, and I'll read it for us and talk just a little bit, and you'll get a deeper teaching on this from the sermon today if you haven't gone or haven't listened to that yet. Let's go to verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Therefore, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let's just look at that beginning with verse 1. I therefore, you know, and Pastor Reader, I'm sure will spend more time than I will on the therefore, but we know that Ephesians in the first three chapters is really talks about the gospel of Christ and the blessings, the gospel blessings. And then beginning with chapter 4, the next three chapters is the gospel and the gospel imperatives, or how we are to walk out that great gospel of grace that he's poured out on you and on me. And so that's why in this transitional verse, he says, I therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called. That calling is our salvation that we've been called, and everything that comes with that, that we would follow Christ, that we would be about the Lord and his business and his work, and everything in our calling, from salvation, sanctification, all the way till we see him again. And then it tells us to do that with all humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love. Critical for us as the church of God, the body of Christ, family, you know, that we have to bear with one another in love, because we're still growing in Christ, and we all have our shortcomings. We're all growing. We all have weaknesses. So you're going to have to bear with me, and I'm going to have to bear with you, and we have to bear with one another in this community, in this Sunday school class, in our church. We're just in love, the love of Christ. And then we need to be making sure that we are eager, that it's our foremost desire, and not is to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Just as Christ prayed in the garden that we would be unified and one, as he and the Father are one, that's what this is referring to, that we would be unified in the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he says, there's only one body, just one body. And of course we have one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and there's one Spirit. Let's jump down to verse 7, since you're going to hear this more deeply at the service. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And this is referring to Christ's gift of our calling, of our salvation, first and foremost, that it was by grace that we're saved through faith and in Christ alone. And that's what it's referring to. But it's also referring to what he's going to start teaching on, or continuing to teach on later in this chapter. of our spiritual gift and our calling and our role in the body of Christ. So it's by the measure of grace, it's God's grace that he gave us the gift of salvation, but also all the gifts that are in the Spirit, every gift that we get. And also that's our spiritual gift. And as we'll look at, that's our talent and abilities that he gives us to use for him. That's even our experiences and all the things that he gives us. Those are gifts of Christ. All good things come from above, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all by grace. So he's speaking of these things. And now let's look at the next passage, or the rest of the end, kind of the next verses in chapter 4. We're going to skip down to verse 11. And it says this. I'll read it, and then I want us to kind of walk through it like we just did in verse 1 through 7. It says this, the word of God. And he, speaking of God, and he gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Just a few thoughts here, beginning with verse 11. And he, God, by his grace, that good gift to the church, he gave the apostles. Now, the apostles here is the capital A apostles that Jesus Christ himself appointed. And through the apostles, we get the New Testament. And so he gave to the church, and this is speaking of the roles and the service, the roles of in within the church of God that we read and studied in 1 Corinthians 12. So he gave the apostles, he gave the prophets. Now this is referring to the Old Testament prophets, where we got the Old Testament scriptures. And so he gave us the word of God. And he gave us the apostles, the prophets, and then he says the evangelists. Now the evangelists are those that from the beginning of the church in the New Testament era, in the time of the apostles, all, and even until today, there's this gift of evangelism, but also the role or the calling of an evangelist that shares the gospel and proclaims it in so often in new areas, expanding the kingdom of God, whether it's in our city or whether it's in the world or in our state or wherever. But he has given the evangelists, and then he gives the shepherds. And that word can also and is often translated in English, that Greek word, as shepherds or as pastors. And so he gives the church those who would shepherd and care for the flock and oversee the church of God. And the teachers, he gives teachers to teach and the scriptures and to proclaim and to help us understand the word of God by the Spirit of God, that we would walk unto the Lord. And so those are different roles that have different gifts there that are outlined for us. And then the scripture unfolds why in this particular passage did he give these to the church. To equip the saints, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And so God is about his church being equipped, being truly to grow in Christ, as we'll see, to really build up the body. He gives different gifts and talents and abilities, and he calls different people to different roles and responsibilities within the church in order to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Every single Christian is the saints there. That's you. That's me. That's every Christian. When it says the saints, that's speaking of everybody who has been saved by the grace of God. So God, those are the church. That's the same people in the body of Christ. Those are those who truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're all here for the work of ministry, the work of Jesus that he has called us to do, using our gifts, talents, and abilities, and for building up the body of Christ. Let's look at verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's just stop there. How long are these the teachers and shepherds and evangelists and all the others to equip us? How long are we to use our gifts in the body of Christ? Until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and until we all are mature. Well, until Jesus Christ comes back, or until we're with the Father, until the new heavens and earth are established here on earth, we're to continue to do this and to pursue this and to make sure that we are equipping the body and building up the body of Christ, and that we would continue to do that. Verse 14, so that. Now he's going in verse 14, so that kind of the some of the benefits or reasons, again, why we're to do it, are the benefits of building up the body of Christ and for equipping the saints, so that we may no longer be children. We would be mature instead of children. We would no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you and me to not be tossed. He knows we face enemies. Okay? You and I, we face enemies. He has a whole chapter in Ephesians 6 talking about the enemies. Okay? And so we face enemies in this life. The world itself is an enemy and has its, the things that seem so right, but are so wrong. They seem, and so they twist and turn because of Satan. Our enemy is Satan, and he is actively trying to discourage you and me, to get us derailed from using our gifts and talents for the Lord, and trying to get us deceived and off on things and being totally overwhelmed by things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. He's out to do that, and the world is there to do the same. And we also battle against our own flesh that's being sanctified, yet it's not there yet. And so we do have real enemies, and what he says is we need to be equipped in the Word of God by the Spirit of God, so that we grow to maturity in Christ and not tossed to and fro. Verse 15, rather, that we, you and me, the people of God, rather we would be speaking the truth in love. We're to grow up in every way into him who is Christ, and who is the head, into Christ. So that's what we're to do. We're to make sure that we are growing personally, and that we're walking in the love of Christ and walking in the truth of Christ, because whatever's in us comes out of us. Therefore, what we speak is really what we're living. And so we want to be constantly walking with the Lord and just pray in prayer in the Word, and just letting him pour his truth into us, so that we may speak the truth in love. And then verse 16, from whom? Jesus Christ. He just said, into Christ, from whom, Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Wow, so much in this. From whom the whole body, Jesus Christ, he's the one that saved us and brought us into the body of Christ. He's the one that joined us into himself, And now we're joined together with one another. We're members of one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the body of Christ. We need each other. We're to live unified in Christ. We're joined together. And praise God, He holds us together. We're joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And He goes back up to the same equipping perspective that we're equipped together as a body. You know, we need to be in corporate worship. We need to be, whether it's virtual right now because of the pandemic, but we need to be involved in this Sunday school community. You guys have prioritized that, but we're held together and we grow together, joined together in the body of Christ. We grow best together in the body of Christ with each person using their gifts, talents, and abilities. That's where He equips us, is in the body of Christ for the work of Christ. And then when each part is working properly, that's you and me. Now He goes, each one of us, we don't need to be using our gifts and talents and abilities and walking in the Spirit of God. We need to be letting Jesus Christ control us as the head and be submitted to Him no matter what's going on in our life. We need to be working properly, walking properly. And when we do, that's what makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. So that's what happens, is we use our gifts, talents, and abilities. We impact each other, and we don't even know it. I don't know how all my body parts impact each other. Carter Harsh has a lot better idea than I do, but I have no idea how they all work together in the body, that it would all grow. But God does. He's the one that joined us and holds us together, and He gave you a certain spiritual gift and talents and abilities and all these things, but spiritual gifts that you would use it, that the body would grow and build itself up into love. And so you go, well, you know, but yeah, but I remember I only have the gift of hospitality. How do you know, and I know, what God would do with that gift, just who you might encourage or build up because of your gift, to that they would be able to use their gift, or the gift of service, or the gift of administration, or you take all 17 and you look at it, God is the one. He's the master, He's the master craftsman who gave each one gifts and uses those gifts to build us up. And we need to be actively using our gifts properly in the body of Christ, right where we are, the way we know how to do that, and so that it would build itself up. This is talking about building each other up in Christ, yes, personally, that we would grow to maturity. But it's also talking about building the church up, expanding the church, the kingdom of God. And God uses you, wherever you are, in that work of the kingdom. God has called us, you and me, to do that. Well, great passage when we think through developing and deploying or using our spiritual gifts. Let's jump on into, well, I'll just read verse 10 and not comment much about it here in 1 Peter 4:10. This is our passage we studied last week. As each has received a gift, use it. So as we're talking through developing and using or deploying our spiritual gifts, God again reminds us that we all have a spiritual gift and we're to use it. And we're to use that gift to serve one another as a good steward of God's grace. Let's talk about a few thoughts on developing our spiritual gifts. We do that best in team. As I said from that scripture, and all these principles are from those in the last 3 weeks of passages, but we do this as a team in biblical community. We need to develop our spiritual gifts in the local church and in this Sunday school community and wherever we are with the body of Christ. We also develop our gifts with training, being equipped. We need to be equipped to use our spiritual gifts. We need to get the right guidance and feedback from others. We need to get teaching. We need to make sure that we're with the people of God, getting equipped by the Word of God to teach us His Word and how to use our spiritual gift. And how to develop it. God develops it our gift in the context of his church of, or of team and of training in the Word of God, and also through mentors and models, through the trainers, I guess you could say, if we wanted to stick to T's, through trainers, are those who God has gifted us. You know, when you're fully trained, the Bible says you become like your teacher. So choose your teachers wisely. Make sure that those who you're listening to, those who you're reading, those things that you're really giving your time to are building you up into Christ and are equipping you for the work of ministry. We need to make sure that we find mentors, those who are ahead of us in life that have the same gift or who are able to help us be equipped to use our gift for Christ. We need to really have mentors. When you have a mentor, that can be formal or informal relationship, meaning you can meet monthly or whatever and just have it scheduled, or you can have a mentor that you just periodically call and ask questions and dialogue about. I remember in the 90s, I was in with Campus Outreach Ministry. It was in the early, well, I was with them a long time, from the 80s all the way through to the 90s. But anyway, I think it was 95, 96, we asked Pastor Reeder to come and be a speaker at a conference I had that I was leading. And it was obvious to me, he was in Charlotte, and it was obvious to me that he had gifts of leadership. And I just asked him, would you be willing for me to call you and just ask you questions about leadership and how to lead, spiritually lead people? And he said yes. And so I would periodically, when I saw him or when I had questions, email him or call him and ask him different questions about spiritual leadership, because I saw he was gifted in that. And he became a mentor way before I ever came back to Briarwood in 2006. And I saw that, and I've seen others who I had a mentor in finances, because I'm not that good at it. So I've asked others to do that in my life. Or spiritually, you know, Dr. Barker has been a mentor of mine, wow, since 1982 when I first met him. And just no big decision in my life did I make, especially all the way through till I was in my 50s. And even now, I would ask him his advice and pray for me. And I can name more of mine. But we need to have mentors to go to in our life for our spiritual gifts, and models. Models can be those who have already, that we read about, those who we study, those that we might listen to on podcasts. But again, remember to keep those where they would equip you in the way that God would have you to be equipped. Make sure you choose those models wisely for Christ. But we need to have those in order to develop our spiritual gift. Now, let's talk through deploying our spiritual gift, using our spiritual gift. We need to do that first and foremost to make sure we're doing that in the body of Christ, in the local church, that we're using our spiritual gift where we are. That's where, you know, we're to grow where we're planted, per se. We're to make sure that we are active right where God's in his providence, in his sovereign plan, has placed us. We're to be using our spiritual gifts to build up one another in Christ, and to help each other grow in the love of Christ and to follow in the Christ. So we need to be doing that in the local church and right where we are, and in the body of Christ, maybe past here. Your gifts and talents may, and God's calling on you may be to use your gifts and talents, not only here locally, but in our city, or maybe in the world, or, you know, I don't know where God might use that, but we need to be doing that for the kingdom of God and asking God. Now, the kingdom of God is here. It's wherever his people are. That's where his kingdom is touched, you know, and so, we're to do it for the kingdom, not for us, but for the glory of God, which is our next statement as well. So we're to use our gift for the kingdom of God, and to use our gift for the glory of God. Again, as I said, I think last week, we're not to use our gifts to get a pat on the back or for others to tell us that we're good at it. We're to use our gifts for Christ and for his glory. They may do that, and it may encourage us, but that's not why we use our gifts. We do it for Christ, for his glory, for his kingdom. And then using your spiritual gifts, we just need to take initiative and do something. You may go, well, I'm not 100% sure what my gift is. It might be this. Okay, just do that, you know, and you'll know pretty soon if that's your spiritual gift or not. Others will tell you, or you'll figure it out. But do something. Don't wait for others to ask you to use your spiritual gift. Go ahead and use it. That's what we're called to do, to take initiative, to do something, to be active. And then next, what we need to do is to remember to discover and develop and deploy our spiritual gifts with certain principles. And that's what I want to spend the rest of our time on today, is things that we are to do. And this is an overview almost of the last 3 weeks with a few extra thoughts, but compiling it, you know, in some principles here for you. First, we need to embrace our spiritual gift with thankfulness and humility and confidence, knowing it's God who gave it by his grace. Secondly, we need to exercise our spiritual gift that Christ has given us in the body of Christ, in concert with others, to build others up in Christ. The next thing I would say we are to do is to be excited for others and their gift. We need to be excited for other people and their gift. And we have our gift, they have their gift. We need to be excited of others and their gift. And then we also need to encourage others in the using of their gifts. Whenever you see somebody and God just lays it on your heart that they're using their gift, encourage them. Let's encourage one another. As long as it is today, the scripture says, day by day, every day, see, ask God to give you someone to encourage, and to encourage others to use as they use their gift in Christ. Well, these are some things not to do that are very important when we, as we wrap up the spiritual gift section. One thing is we're not to compare ourselves with other people. In the book of Corinthians, that's what the context of chapters 12, 13, and 14 are all about, teaching on the spiritual gifts. But one of the main things they had done is some of these things, these not to do's. They had compared themselves with others. And in the American church, too often, we do the same thing. And so we need not to do that. It would only bring pride in our life or discontent in our life. And neither, or envy. And none of those are what God would have. Similar to that is exalting one gift over another. Again, the church at Corinth, was exalting one gift over another. You know, we listed 17 in our inventory. Others have listed many more out of the scriptures and others that are not even explicitly taught about, but those 17 are definitely the heart of it. But we don't want to exalt one gift over another. You know, in the American church, too often the gifts, upfront gifts of leadership and teaching are exalted. Like those are the apex, where all the others seem to be secondary in the American church. And that's just wrong. That's just a lie. That's what Satan would love for us to think. So we won't all use our gifts. But God says, no, they're all important. They're all valuable. Use your gift. You know, make sure you don't exalt one gift over the other. Never exalt the user of the gift. Always exalt the gift giver. And we do that by using our own gifts. Ignoring, forsaking, or rejecting your gift. That is something we are not to do, at all. And then a wrong assumption on your gift, a deception of your gift, because you may be attracted to one gift that you're encouraged by in other people, and you kind of want that. Don't go running to thinking that's your gift or my gift. You know, we have to ask God to show us our gift and use that one. But some people would fall into a wrong assumption of what their gift is. And then, you know, say like, because it is highlighted too much, the gift of teaching, you know, in our society. Now, it's important. Every gift is. But some people may, you know, think that they have that and try to use it. But when you see that your group of 30 is now a group of 3, you may want to reevaluate. Maybe you have the gift of another gift to use for his kingdom. And you hear people tell those stories. Another thing that we're not to do, we're not to judge other people in their gift and how they should use their gift. God's given us our gift, and we're to use the gift that he's given us. And we're not the judge. We have one judge. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father. I mean, he's the judge. God is, not us. And we're not to judge each other in the use of their gift. You know, how that may happen is going, well, you know, she or he has the gift of hospitality. We'll let them host that party. Well, maybe God wants you to host that party. Now, after the pandemic's over, you know, I bet we'll throw a lot of parties after this. But anyway, maybe service. There's a service need, and John or Tim mentioned it, and you go, you know, so-and-so, he has that gift of, he's always so good at that. He would do much better than me. And you are assuming God's calling them to do it. Maybe he's calling you or me. So we're not to be judging others and how they're to use their gifts. We're also not to overemphasize on a gift, you not having a specific gift, not to have overemphasis. We're to think that only those with this gift, again, should do that particular thing, similar to what I just said about judging others, but you're actually thinking they should do it. A good one here is maybe evangelism, going, well, you know, everybody it seems that so-and-so shares with comes to know Christ. They obviously have the gift of evangelism. You know I don't, so I just pray for people to come to know Jesus. No, God's given us all the teaching, the command to share our faith. Now, those with the gift of evangelism, yes, God brings so much fruit there, and they equip us in evangelism. They model it for us. But we're all to be sharing our faith, not just let those with the gift of evangelism. You could talk about service or mercy. You know, a lot of people make a joke about mercy and say, well, you can tell I don't have the gift of mercy. And you're like, yeah, you don't, because of how they speak. It's not merciful. We're all to be merciful. And those that have the gift of mercy, model for us and may even show us ways to serve in that gift in the merciful area, but we're all to show mercy. I could go on through all the gifts, but we're not to be doing that overemphasis on a gift or us not having a specific gift. We're to all be walking with Christ. We're not supposed to project our gift on other people. You know, one that stands out here, several, you could take all 17, but say you got the gift of administration, and anytime you go to a conference or event or something's happening, because of your great gift, you can see 5 ways to make that better. Things they could have done to make it more efficient because you have that gift. And then you project, we can project that they should be doing it far much better, where, you know, and why in the world we become critical of them. Well, we don't need to do that because we're projecting our gift on them. We may can help people and assist when needed, but we're not to be critical. You know, you could take the gift of teaching. Those that are really good at it can't understand why those who aren't. Or you could take each one's service. Why isn't everybody doing this? You know, they should be. I can't believe I'm the only one. Well, you may be the only one that saw it needed to be done because you have the gift of service. Help recruit a few other people to help you. They would love it. They just didn't see it needed to be done. So we can't project our gift on others, but use our gift in the proper way to build up the body of Christ. Well, we're going to, after the teaching time's over, share about these particular gifts and any questions or thoughts. I would love to open that up for that if John and Tim feel fine about that. But as we go through and wrap up the study on spiritual gifts, let's keep it in mind that this is one of those areas, not all the areas, and our spiritual gifts work alongside of our heart desires that God gives us and our talents and abilities, even our personality that we'll study next week. For 2 weeks, we're going to study through personality next, and even our experiences. So as we go through each one, let's keep the shape in mind. This is our design that God is developing us and has done that. Let me just say a few things about next week's lesson, just to introduce it in 3 minutes, I guess, or 2 minutes with you. I sent you a personality inventory, and there's so many of them out there, and they're all interesting, and but the one that we'll be going through is the DISC and the temperament survey there for you. But as you do this, read through that. I would encourage you, one, do the survey before next week. Do that DISC temperament survey. It won't take very long, and you can do it on your computer or your handheld device, the one that I sent you. But God's given you a temperament, a personality at birth. Now, we grow and mature, and we'll talk about this next week, but he has given you that. And in order to really understand other people and yourself and to really work together in unity in the body of Christ, it really helps to understand and discover our own temperament, the way we interpret things. It's really helpful, and that's why we're going to go on that for 2 weeks starting next week. And as I said, take that DISC temperament inventory. It may take you 15 minutes. It may take you 20. It may take you 10. It doesn't take very long, depending on your personality, how long it takes. It won't take very long. And then overview the things that I wrote about it. When you do take it, I'll say this. Think of yourself in a comfortable environment, kind of like how you grew up in your home maybe then and how you have been. Don't think of it quite. We're not trying to see how you work in your work environment. We're trying to look at your basic temperament. And so think of your more comfortable settings with friends and family and how you were growing up and those comfortable settings. Put yourself there when you take that inventory. Well, spiritual gifts. This is our third week. Make sure that we are discovering our spiritual gifts. And if you've done that, continue to develop your spiritual gifts and then deploy your spiritual gift. Make sure that you're using that for the glory of God. Well, after we close, I just put this back on the screen here. I would love for us to just talk through, share about our particular spiritual gift and how God's using that, or questions that we have about spiritual gifts, or any thoughts about developing our spiritual gifts or using them, deploying, whatever you guys want to talk about. I would love for that. We had such a good discussion last week. I'd love for that to continue. But let me go ahead and close in prayer. And my encouragement for you would be to continue to do that, to make sure that we are discovering, developing, and deploying our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you so much for your scripture. Thank you, God, for this Sunday school class. Thank you, God, for all you've done. And we do pray that you would help us to continue to discover and develop and deploy those spiritual gifts that you've given us. Father, we just thank you for all that you do and how we are in such a special, wonderful church that we see these gifts all over the place. And in this Sunday school class, we see these gifts being used. Thank you for that and how we're built up in discovery class in the body of Christ. But do take us and help us to just continue to grow more and more, and that you would guide us and direct us in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Benny. We're speaking of gifts. We've got the Bergs are back, so I've asked them to close us for this part of it with a hymn again. So thank you, Bergs.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love.